They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
3.5 to go. Celtics inbounding in front of their own bench. Morris looking around, gets it into Larkin. Larkin has to go quick. Cross half court. Larkin right-hand dribble. Pulls up. Gets the three away in time, and it's good.
Man. Ooh, man. Everything coming up broke.
And how deflating is that for the Bucks? They make their run, and the Celtics answer at every turn.
Expert hotline and welcome in the voice of the Celtics.
Hold on. Gotta go manual there.
Got it. Wow, what is that?
Static.
Okay, got that out of the way. Sean Granny on the line. Hey, Granny, what's up?
First day in the new studio? What's the
We've had some technical issues here today. Zoe has decided to switch seats mid-show. He's now operating out of Fred's chair. It is.
Disconcerting.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Sounds the same. You can't tell the difference.
I suppose. How could you forget Jurebko, by the way?
Jurebko. Oh, look at you listening.
So listen, give us your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
The 2017 playoff roster versus the 2018 playoff roster.
It's pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting conversation. I think that it was such a dramatic overhaul. I think people, and it sounds like you're picking on Isaiah when you say it. And you're not.
No.
Seeing that year, what he did last year was one of the most remarkable things that I will probably ever get to call. That singular year that he had, in which he came, you know, this last pick in the draft to be the fifth or sixth best player in the league. But when you realize that the Celtics this past year lost, got rid of Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder, two who were, over the last couple of years, two, you know, arguably the best on-ball defender in the league, that a lot of players will tell you, and Jay Crowder, who was very, very good defensively, and went from the 10th best defensive team to the best defensive team in the league, that's a pretty good indication of how things had to be structured when Isaiah was the centerpiece of the team. So that said, when you're talking about a guy who could take over a game offensively, I'm not sure there is that guy. I think Jason Tatum will be that guy at some point. I don't think there's any question based on what we've seen. He's on that trajectory. But there were, you know, and Max talked about this quite a bit last year, you know, Isaiah giveth and Isaiah, there was some taketh away, you know, defensively. So it's a very different team. And this time of year, do you want the championship defense, or do you need that one guy that can take over a game? We may find that out as the series plays out with Giannis, because Giannis certainly can, and yet the Bucks are down 0-2 despite everything he's done.
You know, I think the interesting part of the conversation and really sort of the debate, if you were listening there, sort of centers around some of the harder ones to figure out, like Avery Bradley of a year ago versus Jaylen Brown. Who would you take in that one?
That's a tough call.
That's the hardest one on the list.
Or the Marcus really Smart one. Like, what state are you getting Marcus back at when he comes back? You
know? Right. That's a great one too. But the Jaylen Brown question, I think something that's happening here a little bit is we're always slow to react. And this is true of any sport. You know, things happen, obviously in the NFL, things happen much faster. Players' careers are shorter and a guy can become a star player, you know, and a more significant player far more immediately. We don't recognize the changes as they happen. And you tend to think of Jaylen Brown as, well, he's very young, and he is very young. But I think when we look back 5 years from now, when let's say Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown stay on this trajectory, and they're both all-star players, we're going to look back now and say, wow, that was a pretty good team back in 2018, even without Kyrie Irving and even without Gordon Hayward. They still had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but I don't think we think of them now the way we might 4 or 5 years from now. And so I think Jaylen Brown's ceiling is certainly higher than the Avery Bradley ceiling, as good as Avery, you know, has been in the NBA. But, you know, where are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown right now on their trajectory in real time? That's the beauty of it, because it's impossible to sort of, you know, get a handle on it. So you step back and say, wow, I mean, look at what Jaylen Brown has done. He's going 40% three-point shooter. And he's been a guy who offensively has carried the Celtics, particularly over the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
When you're looking at this Bucks team so far, what are your thoughts on this Bucks team? I think they suck outside of Giannis. I think they're just not a team that plays like a team. They're very athletic, but it doesn't feel like they've got it put together.
there are clearly some issues here. Jabari Parker, who's had a nightmare start to his playoff career, these two games he's just been terrible, is not happy coming off the bench. There's you know, you're sort of not comfortable with your situation. They had one of those things during the year where Malcolm Brogdon was the rookie of the year last year. He kills the Celtics. I mean, Celtics fans know how good this kid is. And you get a more experienced veteran player, Eric Bledsoe, who forces his way out of Phoenix in not the most professional manner, manner that he sort of carried over to the Terry Rozier stuff over the last couple of days. And you give Bledsoe the ball. Brogdon had some injury problems. So it's sort of an unsettled roster. Like, you have two guys coming off the bench that probably shouldn't be. You've got guys like, you know, what is Jason Terry going to give you at this point in his career? What is Shabazz Muhammad going to give you at this point in his career? So I think people think of the top of the roster and not 7, 8, 9, which is what you need to be a really good team, particularly when you get to this time of year, that you can have a great player, and they have a great player. And by the way, Chris Middleton is really, really good. If you don't know, you should by now. But, you know, one brilliant player. Think about the Celtics in 08 against LeBron. And Giannis, as good as he is, isn't LeBron in 2008. And yet the Celtics were able to, you know, they got pushed by a great player, but they were able to get by.
Sean, you're down 0-2 in a series, and you look at it from Milwaukee's perspective. It seems like, you know, and I don't mean this in any disrespect, the coach stands with his hands on his hips, and it's like watching a high school All-American, McDonald's All-American game. They have so much high-end talent, and it's just like sticking athletes together. But there's some grinders on that bench you could throw out there and mix it in like Brad does. Do you shake this roster up at all in Game 3?
I'm not sure.
From Milwaukee's perspective.
You know what I need the Bucks to do? I need the Bucks to not turn the ball over, and I need them to get rebounds. And if I look at my bench and I say, where am I going to get that from? Listen, I feel better. If I'm the Bucks, I feel better generally when Brogdon's on the floor. But that's from seeing him a lot against the Celtics over the last couple of years. I feel better about their team. But, you know, he turned the ball over a ton in Game 2. So the reason the Celtics are giving up, I mean, try to comprehend the fact that the Celtics were the number one defensive team in the NBA. The Bucks are shooting 54% in the series. It's absurd. The Celtics haven't had games like single games like that the entire year. That's how well Milwaukee is shooting, and they're still down 0-2, which is, listen, rebounding has been the issue with the Celtics all year. You look at what correlates. You want to extract the number that correlates to winning. When the Celtics out-rebound the opponent, they're like 36-6. When they don't, they're a 500 team. They're a beatable team. Milwaukee is a bad rebounding team. It's played out. You see, talk about the athletes. They can block shots. Look at Henson. How many shots has he blocked in this series? 7 in the first two games?
Yeah.
How many in chasing another 10 blocks? How many defensive rebounds has he not gotten? So these are the things that have to be cleaned up. Do they have the personnel to make that change? Last year, everyone was talking about the Brad Stevens change, right? With Gerald Green, that was a unique personnel change. Do the Bucks have that? I'm not saying you don't try it down the two, but do the Bucks have that guy that's going to be the cure for what has specifically ailed them?
All right, final question for you. You've seen two games of this series. If you have to update your prediction on how the rest of it goes, Celtics and how many?
I think you feel really good about the Celtics probably winning in 5. I think that's probably the most logical pick, but I will, again, as the voice of doom and the voice of caution and the voice of don't run too fast with scissors, you know, don't jump too high or run too fast. I will say this. You do not want to get into a 7th game when the best player is on the other team. That is a very scary situation to get into.
They're not going to go 7.
I didn't say it was. I said the Celtics are going to have to, win a game in Milwaukee here to take that off the table, because you don't want to get into a 7th game. That's my only, you know, I said my son is 6, and he's already thinking about Philadelphia and the next round. I'm trying to, you know, again, you don't want your kids to run too fast or jump too high. So I just said, let's not get all crazy. The Celtics were down 2-0-2 with the home games last year. How about Rondo and Mirotic doing the exact same thing last year, winning the first two games on the road and for New Orleans this year than they did for Chicago?
All right, Sean.
Different situation. I get it. But, I mean, you know, someone's got to say it, right? Let's not go crazy. But I you got to feel really good about the way they played.
All right, Sean. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, guys.
See you, pal. Right,
Sean Grandy on the Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. We've got a few more schedule leaks for you. If you're a Patriots fan and you're into that type of thing, we'll give you an update on that coming back next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll be right back.
All right, we've got some schedule information for you.
It's like Chesapeake Bay Bridge, baby.
Got a lot of info here. Patriots will open the season.
Let's go!
Sunday.
We're traveling!
September 9th in Foxborough.
We're home.
Against the Houston Texans.
Yes.
1 o'clock kick.
Love it!
1 p.m. kickoff.
Running QB. Get him out there.
All right.
We've been traveling far. Why don't you just fast forward a little bit and see if we're playing on Thanksgiving or not? Because we had something prior to the start of the show that we got a little inkling we ain't playing on Thanksgiving. That is true. We will not be playing a game on Thanksgiving. Meaning the Patriots.
I was gonna say, when are you playing a game?
That sneaky good holiday. That sneaky, sneaky good family holiday. And by the way, my pool guy just texted me, wants to know if we're opening a pool. And he also PS'd it with that guy Hardy. Tell him he's the sneaky best guy on 98.5. I told him to bleep you, buddy. Yeah, you guys are opening my pool. Thank you. We'll schedule it. I appreciate that.
Oh, okay.
They're great. They're the best.
Okay.
The best.
Okay. I can also tell you that a number of the early games of the season are late. Out of the first 9 games. Hold on, can I take a quick moment to count something? Is that okay? 2, 4, 6, 8. Yeah, 9. Of the first 9 games on the Patriots schedule, 5 of them are nighttime games.
Mm.
5 of them, night games. And one of them is a 4:25 kickoff. The 4:25 kickoff is in week 2 of the season on the road at Jacksonville.
That's a tough one. That's going to be a tough one.
So the first 2 games out of the gate for the Patriots, the Houston Texans at home, and then on the road against the Jaguars. So that tells you that in the first 2 weeks, there are no night games. No night games out of those first 2.
Ugh.
So between Games 3 and Game 9, there will be 5 night games.
Woo!
5 out of 7 games will be at night.
Get your beauty sleep now, Beetle.
Starting week 3.
Get your beauty sleep, pal.
Hey, so far that lines up with like Ed Sheeran's at Foxborough, so they're on the road week 2.
Yeah. Hey, how's Hoyer down in Jacksonville? He ever play down there?
I'm just trying to debunk everything. I'm trying to like find the holes in this. Like, I'm hoping this is legit 100% rock solid. I haven't found any holes yet, though.
I like the end of it. I like the way it ends. Going to be able to head to Florida, see the fam. No crazy holiday games. No distractions. No staying out west for a week. It's pretty good back and forth. And for you folks that got home tickets, it's a damn good home schedule. You got some good teams coming to Foxborough. Hey, Beetle.
Yeah.
Take those first 9 you were counting there.
Yeah.
Why don't you tack on the 4 preseason games, which are all night games also, for people that work the pre in the booth.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, so.
So, 9 of the first 13 are night games. Oh, that's going to be a fun one, that Giants game down there. Woo! That last preseason game. Get it over in 2 hours, baby.
Let Lamar Jackson play the whole game?
Yeah, I'd rest Hoyer that day. Well, I would not play Hoyer. You got to get him ready week 1. I don't know. Would you play Rosen the whole game? What would you do?
You want to know the bye week? Everybody want to know the bye week.
Yeah, don't tell me it's week 4.
No. Week 11. Week 11 is the bye week, which is November 18th.
That could be a sneaky good bye week.
November 18th is the
Patriots
bye.
Damn it, I said I wasn't going to use that. I've used that like 5 times this show. But that's about the spot, too. Remember when Hogan went down? Where he had guys banged up? You know, what's Gronkowski going to be like after 10 straight games? That could be a nice little break for them. Because the whole AFC rides on a big matchup in Pittsburgh in the middle of December again. December 16th, folks. At Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Get your ketchup bottles out. It's going to be cold. Brady Roethlisberger. Maybe the last time ever. That's going to be a good one. Beetle, we've had a question for the one destination everybody wants to go this year when the schedule came out. We'll save that one.
Tell you what, we will get to that at 1:30.
We'll do it when we want.
Six. Between 1:36 and 1:45.
All right.
We will have that for you. We'll tell you. We'll tell you about the travel destination.
Yeah. If you want to make plans.
Does that sound fair?
That's fair.
That sound okay to everybody?
How do you like them coming out of the gate there? 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom, boom, boom. How's September look for you?
Looks good to me.
Hmm. You know what's kind of odd?
What?
Might be playing a divisional opponent we never thought we'd play at night. That's a tough one. That could be a tough spot.
Well, they've played the Jets at night.
Yeah. Played Miami at night on Monday nights. We were down there last time, last in December on a Monday night. It's another team we haven't played yet at night in a while. I don't think we have.
Wait.
Buffalo Billy Goats.
There's going to be a night game against the Bills?
Are they giving Bills Mafia 6 extra hours on a Sunday to drink?
No. No, and that's not a good idea.
I don't think that's a good. I don't like me having to stay in Buffalo another 6 additional hours. That's not fun. What are we going to do? Go see the Falls maybe on Sunday. Kill about 4 hours there in the middle. Hmm. Looks like an 8:20 road game at Buffalo at some point. But, I mean, from a taxing standpoint, meaning staying away from your family at home as a team, where they've had to do that in other years. Now, granted, the years they've stayed away, they end up going to Super Bowls usually. Remember being out in San Diego? Remember right. being out in Denver last right. year? Yeah, you didn't win it last year, but you went. You won it in Super Bowl 49 the year you stayed out there with Revis and company out in San Diego. So it doesn't look like there's any team-building aspect-type trips where you stay away for a week, which is good. I think they're easy as far as travel for them to get ready for the next week. And we remember that stretch last year. Remember that stretch where it was like week 9 through 15 where it was brutal? You were talking about that gauntlet. Coming off the bye, it's Denver. It's Minnesota. You know, it's the Raiders. Not the Raiders are going to be good, but you had them yeah. in where? Mexico City. Then you had to come back and get ready. You got those divisional games. Miami twice in a matter of 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh stacked in there. A lot of tough games in that stretch. And I don't really know if you really look, you know, at a certain stretch here and you say, boy, there's 3 that they can't handle. Spread it out pretty good for them. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Let's get to a couple calls on the Celtics. We'll get back to the schedule coming up.
Sounds good.
Chris is in Rhode Island.
Chris.
Hey, Chris. Hey there.
What's up?
Yeah, I'd like to point out, you guys didn't really briefly brought up with Isaiah, but Terry's a much stronger defender than Isaiah was.
So you're making the argument to keep Terry Rozier over Isaiah Thomas when Isaiah was doing what he was doing his time last year?
He was doing what he was doing, but our
Come
offense
on.
Now is more spread out more, and the defense is more spread out more. And
but we're just asking you, we're not asking you to combine it with what the team has its constitute. We're saying head-to-head, which player? Isaiah of this time last year or Terry Rozier? Come on.
Yeah.
To be fair to Isaiah, I mean, I like this team with you. I'm with you. This team's better than last year's team. And I think you got a better Brad Stevens. He's better year to year, right?
But I would say player by player, the defense is way better. Bradley looked better because he was picking up the slack for Isaiah and everyone else.
Yeah.
Morris is a better scorer and enforcer.
A lot of energy in his call.
Yeah.
It's good.
Ton.
Okay.
Sean is in Rhode Island. Sean, go ahead for us.
All right. Can you hear me?
Hey,
we
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Let's
now
go,
we
bud.
Oh, my God. I apologize for the head, the earbuds that go in your ear that rub against your zipper as it goes up and down. I apologize for that.
All is forgiven. All is forgiven.
All right. Going back to the Celtics. Now, like you said, the last caller said Thomas versus Rozier. It's obviously Thomas from last year, given that. But like you guys just said, Brad Stevens. Without Brad Stevens going through what he went last year, being down 2-0 against Chicago at home, winning 4 straight after that, going through the second, going all the way to the conference to lose to Cleveland. Without going through that, he wouldn't be a great coach. Now, he wouldn't have had to deal with, you know, Thomas, with Sollinger, with Jarebko, with all those guys that are on the team, Crowder, that were probably drama queens, and he would be able to have great players such as Tatum, such as Rozier this year, Irvin coming into town, Horford helping out with his leadership, Baines, Tice, all these guys, they're coachable players. And because Brad Stevens has gone through the experience of the playoffs, he's done great. And I think for that, he's a great, it's going to be great for the entire rest of the season.
All right. I hope you're right. I mean, I'm rooting for the Celtics, Jim, despite my, I don't know, lack of excitement over the Celtics.
Stop downplaying it.
I'm just more...
You'd end up in the finals.
Yeah, I know.
You know, remember how the Red Sox stuck in there in 2013? We're like, oh, just remember, Red Sox won that World Series that year. Nobody noticed. Come on.
617-779-0985. I promise we're going to give you more details on the Patriots schedule next.
Sports Hub headlines.
An optional escape for the Bruins this morning. Coach Bruce Cassidy says Matt Grzelcyk looks like he's good to go, but he's going to be a game-time decision as they get ready for Game 4 tonight in Toronto. Judd Sirott, Bob Beers have the call of the game as always. Puck drops just after 7 o'clock on the New England Honda Dealers, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Bruins Radio Network. Rick Porcello was on the mound for 6 shutout innings last night. Stayed that way, 9-0 the final from Anaheim, where the Sox took the first two games of the set. Have a chance to complete the sweep tonight with Eduardo Rodriguez getting the start. Danny Ainge on with Toucher and Rip this morning says he's happy with the team so far through two games of the postseason. And what about Marcus Smart? He getting close?
He's starting to run and he's, you know, getting up shots, doing all that kind of stuff, but he's probably at least a week away.
At least a week away, according to Danny Ainge. Celtics off until tomorrow night when they visit the Bucks. Have a chance to go up 3-0 in the best of 7 against Milwaukee. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 has more choices than ever. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Yeah. Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
As promised, by the end of this segment, we'll tell you when the Patriots are going to Nashville. How's that sound?
We need a little country music for that.
Yeah,
one.
You
little...
know what, Jim? Why don't you get a little something ready for that?
Hey, Jim.
A little Garth Brooks.
We're going to open up the doors down here on the bottom floor, the upper floor with the bars. They're going to be open, people hanging out, waving flags.
You guys are
peanuts.
So excited right now.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being excited about something, Jim? You get excited about everything, Jim.
Yeah. Jim just wishes we got this excited for the Celtics.
That
little green teamer with his
that
green.
That is his problem.
You mean like games that are being played instead of games being scheduled?
Maybe.
No. You know what, Beetle? Let's be down for it.
What's the time difference there? Is it 1 hour behind?
Doesn't really matter.
Are they 1 hour behind?
It'll matter when you're drunk.
I think so.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. Central time.
1 hour behind.
Chicago Central time, right? Chicago's a 1 o'clock start. See family there on that one.
Is that a leak?
Could be. Could be.
12 p.m. Central. Sorry.
Don't worry about it, Jim.
Yeah, Jim, you just push those buttons in there.
So when we switch time zones, that'll be 2 o'clock Atlantic?
I don't know. As long as I have my iPhone because it switches itself. I get
That's
so
right.
confused with time things. Do you know they missed 2 Super Bowl hits during the Houston Super Bowl because Channel 4 was sending me East Coast time stuff and I got locked in after spending a week there? It's just... Hey, the show was an hour. Show was an hour ago. What? I got my schedule right here. That's East Coast, dummy. Oh. Hmm.
Got it. Okay.
Well, Beto, I really hope that that game is early enough to where maybe there could be a late flight in the day if people want to get back for it. But it sort of is the destination.
Wait,
game.
A late flight in what day?
Tennessee. Down in Nashville.
Meaning what? You leave when?
Well, if it's an early game, if it's like a 1 p.m. or 12 p.m. kick.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Maybe there's a late flight we could get back on or something. Or maybe spend Monday there.
Leave
the first one out.
After the game?
After the game. Maybe check out of the hotel, go to the game, then leave after the game. I don't know. Probably early. I would say it's probably early in the day as opposed to a night game.
So a game's at 1, which means it ends at 4 Eastern or 3 Central.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I'll give you a little tidbit here about Nashville. And we did a game down there a couple of years ago. It's not like some of the other cities where you got a ton of traffic, people are trying to kill each other to go to games. It's a very accessible downtown destination stadium. I'd encourage you to stay downtown along. There's a river, I think, that runs west of the city.
Oh, you don't say.
And there are several bridges that go across. I think it is, if you're staying downtown, you could, it's a little bit of a walk that time of year. It's not bad. It's nice.
Okay.
That's all. Just saying, if you're heading down there, you may want to stay right downtown as opposed to outside the city. Stay around where the hockey team plays.
Where does the hockey team play?
Right across from the Palm Restaurant, one of the greatest restaurants in downtown Nashville.
Wow, you've scouted, huh?
Oh, do you ever have a chicken, just spiced chicken, fried chicken sandwich with pickles down there?
I don't know that I have.
Oh, Hardy, you're a chicken pickle eater, right? Not that you eat the pickle off the chicken. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you get that spiced chicken. What was the restaurant we had here? Bring the spiced chicken. They had pickles on
it. Yeah, you know, you're a chicken pickle eater, Hardy. Sneaky good sandwich.
That pickle on that chicken is sneaky good.
Sneaky good.
Now I get my pool guys in on this thing.
Is there anything else that you want to share, Zoe, before we get to the...
Let me take a peek.
What I think is the one that everybody wants.
I told you Pittsburgh already, right? I let that one out.
Yeah.
Like 3 days after my birthday, we're in Pittsburgh. December 16th. That's a CBS national game, folks. So that one will be protected.
Protected. Okay. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
When do you think that Green Bay game?
What are we doing here? Are you stalling?
We're stalling.
For what?
Usually when you stall, you have something to do for the next 5 minutes.
Maybe you should book your flight off the air. Maybe you should do that off the air.
When do you, how about the Packers?
He said it. Packers, tell me to F off for.
What? Packers is a good one, right? How about that one?
Give it to us.
Green Bay Packers. Sunday. November 4th. Sunday, November 4th. That's a late one, folks. Gonna be up all day for that one.
Feels to me like the road home balance. Remember the end of last year's schedule was really bad?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that way this year.
It's a good, like I
it's
said,
spread
from,
out.
A, from a travel
road
perspective.
Home, spread out.
I don't see a gauntlet here. I don't.
At any point.
Gauntlet.
I can tell you there's three home games in a row in terms of the warm weather at home. September 9th. September 30th, October 4th, October 14th, all at home.
Yep.
Early season games at home.
And Vikings.
All good.
Vikings, very, very good team in the NFC. You got them coming here. That's a dome team, folks. Got them coming here in December. Hopefully it'll be cold for them. Diggs. Grip that ball.
You hope. Tough you hope catch. It's cold.
Who knows? Who knows around
you
here?
Don't know that it will be.
It'll probably be 65.
Given that it's now April 19th. Yeah. And it's very, very cold outside. You just don't know.
And you close out the season with two divisional games at home. Like, you know, they've taken care of you on the back end of schedules.
Buffalo at night, though. What a trip. A night game at Buffalo. Oh, and this
place is going to be a zoo.
You didn't give the date for that.
Okay.
There's another element to that game that I think you're missing or didn't consider.
Okay.
A Buffalo night game. What time of year?
Halloween? It's a Monday nighter, boo.
Buffalo. Now, you know how insane those people are to begin with. Now you mix in a night game, which they don't get. They don't get night games in Buffalo because they've been so bad for so long. And then you mix in the stupidity of Halloween, which has become a stupid holiday.
I'm dressed up as Bill Mafia. Look at me. I got no teeth. I drink Natty Lights.
I mean, they're basically in costume to begin with.
Yeah, you look. It looks like a Halloween party up there anyway. Maybe they'll dress up like normal people. Hey, look at us. We're dressed up like a couth person.
Halloween's on a Wednesday.
Yeah, but the game that is closest to
29th
Halloween.
Is a Monday.
29th is, a Monday night game in Buffalo.
What do you think? What do you think the production? Scary. Look at that guy in the stands with the mask on.
Okay, so
this is not safe for the people of Buffalo.
Give the good news. Give the good news to the people that they want.
Go ahead. Right. Tennessee, folks. Travel destination. Sunday. November 11th. 1 week after Green Bay. Heading to the Tennessee Titans to play a 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time game.
It's also a long weekend.
Get you ready. You know, everybody's starting to get in the holiday spirit. I tell you what, Tennessee's going to be all... I tell you, down in Nashville, we like to decorate those streets down there.
Yeah, where's the country music?
Y'all, come on down. Have a good time.
Come on.
Take me back. Come on. Biscuits down there? Biscuits and gravy, it's a good thing, right? Hardy likes the chicken pickle. Spicy
chicken pickle. Right in your face.
Woo!
All right, so that's what we got for you right now.
November 11th,
that's
Tennessee. Book it.
There you have it. I want to get back to a Red Sox point from earlier in the day about the way this Red Sox team is hit. The approach, thanks to their manager, Alex Cora, and also an email from a listener in response to that earlier conversation, which I will read for you, coming back right after this.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Red Sox are now 15-2 on the year.
Woo!
15-2.
Red hot.
Smoking hot Red Sox through baseball 17 teams. Games.
Man.
They've scored 108 runs, leading the American League to this point.
Jesus.
They have absolutely crushed it offensively. And one of the trends that you should have picked up on by now, one of those trends is the early run production. The way they've smash starting pitching, especially in the first and second inning.
When you look at these trends, is this to the front of the lineup, to the middle? Like, is it cyclical? You know, they've always wanted it to be 1 through 9 and just sort of have that transition where it's somewhat seamless, but seems like it feels to me like the power's coming at the top of the order. Obviously with Betts, though. Yeah, Ben Attendi is going to heat this thing up. You even said during the course of the show today, your boy Martinez, he's starting to come around. Yeah. Like what Betts did the other day, my God. You stay on this pace, and we said it earlier, at what point do you start running away with this thing? Like, what's the magic number? What's the earliest they've ever hit a magic number? Because I don't expect the Orioles to get any better. Yankees got issues. I expect them to get hot at some point, but they got a brutal May. Was it going to be too late for them to get hot? I remember baseball seasons around here when the Red Sox got 8, and we start flirting 8.5, 9, 10 out of it early, and you're thinking, your season's dead. You want a baseball season. You may not have one. If you're a Yankee and you're looking at this thing, or an Oriole, and you're saying, wow.
I mean, they're 8-8. I wouldn't freak out yet,
I know, I'm not freaking out.
But I'll tell you what.
The Beatle, 15-2 is
15-2. If you thought coming into the year, you're a Yankee fan, you think, oh, the Red Sox, they're not that good, they're overrated, blah, blah, blah. You should start rethinking that. You should start rethinking your takes on that, ladies and gentlemen. Because the Red Sox haven't just won ball games. I mean, they have looked great. In doing it, they've looked impressive. They've done things that, starting pitching wise, have lived up to, you know, best case scenario in a guy like Rick Porcello. David Price has had some ups and downs.
Sure has.
Hasn't been perfect. Chris Sale has looked good as expected. The one weakness on this team is in their bullpen. High leverage situations, especially in the first game out of the gate, that was a problem. And I think could continue to be a problem for this team if they don't add something during the course of this season, which they definitely need.
Which it was imperative that your frontline guys get off to great starts, give you good quality starts, getting through, 6 1/3 at least, so you don't tax this bullpen until you figure things out. You know, I don't want to say late in the year, but that trade deadline's going to come.
Scoring early. Red Sox in the first 3 innings this year have had 49 runs. Their best inning offensively, runs-wise, the second inning, 18 runs. The first inning, it's been 17 runs. Those are their two best innings in terms of hitting the baseball. Their home runs have also come early. Their home runs have been very much in the early innings. 12 home runs over the first 3 innings so far, 4 in the middle 3, 6 in the final 3. The majority of the home runs have been in the first 3 innings of the game. and they've hit four grand slams to this point. They're crushing the baseball early. I think what that is a result of is being aggressive at the plate, which we talked about prior to the year, the approach, what Alex Cora has said about a better, more aggressive approach offensively. I think guys have enjoyed that. I think they've taken advantage of that, okay? So that's part one. And I think if you look at this team, I think that they've taken advantage of this. I think it's helping cover up for their issues to this point.
Okay.
All right?
Good take.
So that's what I wanted to get to.
All right.
The listener email said that Dustin Pedroia needs to go. Which
wow,
I think they're is crazy.
Without Pedroia.
They don't have Pedroia back.
Stop.
I think that email's wrong. All right. Takeaways?
Yeah. Jim, cue the music, please.
Hey, give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey! All right, time for today's takeaway, since we only have time for one, probably. Brought to you by our good friends at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life. Check them out, awaken180weightloss.com. Been talking about the schedule with you here and there. Key dates. Key dates on this schedule. I think the AFC will be up for grabs. December 16th at Pittsburgh. Pretty much identical to last year. I think we were in Pittsburgh December 17th last year. Bump it up a day because of the calendar year, 365. We're there December 16th again. So at Pittsburgh, that looks like the marquee game to me. And early November, you get Aaron Rodgers at home in a night game. That's a big one. It's a good, good home schedule, folks. For you people that complain about ticket prices or having to give up your money, oh, I already got the season tickets. Yeah, you got a good home schedule. Good home schedule. Get to see a nice heel, Deshaun Watson, week one. Looks good.
The best part being a lot of home games early, out of the way.
God, I hope Hoyer's going to be good against them. That's his old team, Houston. Threw five picks in a playoff game when he played for Houston. Yeah. Hope he's better.
Four of the first six at home.
Sure hope he's better.
Four of the first six.
Five of the first nine night games. And then you throw into four night games in the preseason. That's nine of the first 13 at night. We're going to be juiced in the mornings. Working late into the nights. Wow. Get your beauty sleep now, Beetle.
I don't mind it.
Well, I know you don't.
I would rather get the late games out of the way early.
Exactly.
That's how I feel.
And late games have a big time feel to them. I like playing at night. It's 1 o'clockers. Everybody walking in, tired. It's Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, trying to get fired up. Hey, this 1 o'clock Sunday games end up being like the Rams or Buffalo at home. Buffalo Monday night. That's going to be creepy Halloween week. Kind of shaky.
As if those people needed any extra reason to drink or act
correct.
Like lunatics.
Right.
Throw Halloween a couple
like you,
days separated
think,
from a football
you,
game.
You think you would always make
And you
them...
know what? It's before it, not after it, which
right.
is very important.
Those morons, they're gonna hurt themselves. You think you stop texting me. God.
Enough already.
Here's my takeaway. Did Beetle actually know that it was time for takeaways? Jim?
Absolutely not.
He did not. He was
still
teasing stuff ahead. He came back from break, 617-779.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jim, have the music ready to
yeah.
go.
Mm-hmm.
I think Beetle went on alert when Jimmy came in and turned on all the studio lights.
Yeah.
Like, ooh.
Yeah.
Beetle's knee-deep in schedules.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It's a big day.
Knee-deep in schedules.
It's like Christmas morning.
I'm getting, I got a text from someone who said, the NFL is going to be very upset with you two. And upset with me for putting out some schedule
anything.
Information.
Yeah.
The league is going to be upset.
I would agree. They have a primetime show.
These could not be, my problem.
These could be rumors.
Not my problem. No, that's not my problem.
We're probably like 50% right. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. All rumors.
It's a late April Fool's joke?
Yeah. Just rumors at this point. Schedule comes out tonight. You can verify or find out it's all bullcrap.
Let's go Bruins. Come on, baby.
Bruins tonight. That's right.
Felger
Maz. Getting yourself ready for the game with Felger and Maz this afternoon. Judd and Beersy with the call tonight in Toronto, and then they can fly home. That was a rental. Good for them. Smart. Bye.